Hi, Tina. It's funny that you're the first one on this call. I've been thinking about you so much since our retreat.
I was said, "Oh, really? That's amazing." I got to practice with Erin while she was here, the tarot cards.
I
She
love
didn't want me to do it.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I cannot tell you how happy it made me to see, to know that you were going to get together and then to see that post and the picture of the two of you. It's so great.
Thank you for introducing us. It was like a match made in heaven for sure.
Love it. I love it. Hi, everybody. Good to see you all. Welcome, welcome. Okay. Well, we have got our integration session for our last retreat that we just had, which seems like it was not very long ago. And I actually have a dream about that I'll share with you, hopefully, at some point on this call, since we're talking about dreams and yeah, anyway, at some point I'll share it with you for some inspiration and to go deeper into the material. But first, even though there hasn't been that much time since we met for our retreat, and for many of us probably in the US, it feels even shorter because there was a long holiday weekend since then. I'd love to start by hearing what's really been resonating for you since our last retreat. What's been resonating by way of the images and the cards and the dreams and creating your own images? Have you been working on it at all with for yourself? Have you been working on it with clients or coaching partners? And also just what's been resonating and on your mind by way of connecting with your soul and this idea of soul work. So let's start there. I'd love to hear, what do you want to share? Or what questions have come forward too? Lisa.
I have to admit, I haven't caught up with the first day's retreat on the imaging. So, with that being said, I've been focusing on the dream work. And I just set myself the. So, I used to pay attention to my dreams and I just thought, oh, I'll just pay attention to them a bit more. And it's been like the things that happen in my dreams are so exciting compared to normal life. It's like normal life is a. A bit samey, but the dream world is very dynamic, I found. So
Yeah.
that's been really, yeah. And you were in my dreams, Joanna. You were like, you were dancing, you were leading something, and you were going to be dancing and singing, and you were really fit. Not that you're not fit, but it's just like that really came across. You were really fit. It was just, yeah, lovely to see you in the dream world.
I love it. I oftentimes students and clients tell me that they meet me in the dream world, which just makes me happy so much. And let's take a look at that just for a moment, right? So on what level, that was me, right? Like we're connected and I'm leading and all the things. But as we learned at our last retreat, on another level, that archetypal image of me was actually a part of you.
Yeah.
What when you look at it through that lens, right? This leader inside of you that was dancing and singing and fit as they led others and had fun. What comes up for you around that? What are you seeing?
It was your sense of enjoyment about it that was really telling. And I'm a terrible singer. I wouldn't subject people to my singing. That would be a nightmare, not a dream.
So there was a joy in leadership.
There was a joy. And as we're speaking, there's also something that happened in the dream that I feel connects with you as well, which is it's almost like waking people up to their spirituality and their dream self as well. Because one thing happened in the dream, I've experienced lucid dreaming, you know, when you become awake in the dream, I've experienced that before, but this time it was more like it carried on for ages, because usually as soon as I realize I'm in a dream, then I wake up. But this time I didn't. And then I was approaching people, this woman, and saying, well, you're in your dream body now. That dream body doesn't have any weight, so you can fly, and teaching people to fly in the dreams and stuff. So that I would relate to you as well in terms of the beautiful work and that spiritual dimension for me.
Yeah. So again, and I'm like, I don't want to push this, Lisa, because if it doesn't resonate, it doesn't resonate. But sure. I want to invite you to see the two layers in that. So on the one layer, yes. You know, especially because of the work that we do together and the retreat we just had, I opened you up, like you said, to the dream work and the spirituality and the, like, we can fly in this. That's one level, right? Mm-hmm. But then if we look at this other level where everything in the dream is an aspect of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not me in the dream. I'm representing a part of you. What's that part of you that is wanting your attention through the dream?
I would say it's the part, that piece is the part that can take people deeper, but can do it lightly as well. Not be too serious about it.
The part that can awaken that spirituality and take them deeper and show them how to fly, but do it in this fun way, right? In this light way and this enjoyable way. So if that is feeling important and meaningful to you, I would invite you to keep on going with that, connect in with the inner Joanna that showed up in the dream, understanding that it's actually not me, it's you. And it's a part of you that is maybe wanting more expression and wanting to connect with you more. And what might happen if you leaned in more and made even better friends with that part of you?
It would be even more fun. It's like I can get, and then I realized with you had the feedback, one of my group calls, it didn't go so well, and I hate it when things don't go so well, really don't like it, but it's like, oh, but then I'm learning, you know, through my mistakes. And I went into heavy and serious, I think, and got people into guided them into the more shadowy side, and actually it's got to be lighter, otherwise people don't engage. So it's a tough lesson, but really important.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. I love it. I love it. So I think if you want, there's material there for you to go deeper with and get more inspiration from. And I love that you're paying more attention to your dreams. It's so great.
It's really nice. It's magic. It's the magic piece, isn't it? And I've got a call with a group on Wednesday. We're going to do money mindset. And actually, I'm going to try and make it fun for people, not serious. So that's a good next step.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. And if it's helpful, again, if we look at everything as archetypal energy that we can use in different moments, come back before you go on to that workshop, take a few moments and come back to that feeling of me in the dream, singing and dancing and leading with that lightness. Feel that somatically inside of you as you go into the workshop.
Sounds good.
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you.
So glad I showed up all the way across the world.
You're so multidimensional. We can't stop you.
So true. Nina.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to say I got to practice, like I told you, on the other day with Erin. And I just love the deep, deep soul work that happens through the symbols of using the symbols of the oracle cards. And it was truly was magical, like just practicing and going through that whole experience and asking questions about this new retreat that I want to do, that I want to host. And I just saw so many ways to get the female entrepreneur closer to her soul, feeling more whole as the entrepreneur. And it really helped me be more present. I love how it just makes you pause. And because there's so many things to do for the business, and you can be here, there, and everywhere, and then it just kind of hones in on what really matters. And I adore that. Thank you so much for that. And I really want to use this with my people as well.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear it. And I want to highlight a couple of things that you're saying because I think they're important for all of us. So, number one, the soul work, whether it's the cards, the dreams, the making images, whatever it is, it helps us slow down and be present to ourselves, right? As Tina said, which just that alone, if there is nothing else that were to come out of it other than having that container for the soul time to slow down and be present and be with ourselves, that right there is medicine. Period. End of story. Right. We need more spaces like that for ourselves. But then there's gifts that come from the soul work beyond even just doing the work for the work, right? Just to be with ourselves and have that space. And I love that it helped the images helped like open up this creativity inside of you around what to do at the retreat and how to engage. And it feels like it was a great way to also brainstorm and come up with new ideas.
Yeah, it was like a total brainstorm with spirit. It was amazing.
So cool. So cool. I can't wait to see what comes of that. Oh, and that reminds me, just for everyone, I did at our retreat, I said I would make a simple resource sheet on some of the exercises. It does not cover everything that we did. As we know, soul work cannot be fully pinned down, but I did, and it's in your member center now, I did create a resource sheet with three instructions for three of the different exercises that we looked at. Deva.
Good morning. Yeah, I had a couple of interesting dreams that I realize how often I just have them and I don't really take the time to go and look deeper. It's just kind of like, oh, I had a dream last night. And one of them was my partner was breaking up with me. And I don't remember a lot of the details, but I woke up feeling kind of like jarred about it. And then the next morning or night, I had another dream that I was with him and his really good friend who lives and owns a 500-acre ranch next to me where I lived for 10 years before moving here, and I had mowed all of the fields. And I don't know if it was like I was trying to like prove myself because he'd broken up with me in one dream. And then they were like, wow, Deva, you did such a great job. You can be like the official mower of the fields or something like this. But, and I told both of them, and I realized, yeah, I didn't really take the time to go deeper into like what any of that might be trying to mirror back or show me. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love that you are starting to pay more attention. Can we use you as a little bit of a case study? Would that be
Sure.
okay? All right. I'd love to hear from everyone if you were coach or practitioner and a client had just shared both of those dreams with you, even if you don't know the rest of Deva's story or narratives or situations or anything like that, right? Just from what she shared, What are some coaching questions or journaling questions that you might ask her to help her go deeper with the dream? Can raise your hand or just take yourself off mute, even we're a small enough group. What, and I'll give you a moment to think about it too, but what are some questions you might ask this client that could help her go deeper and find more meaning in the dream? Or in the two dreams, I should say. And Deva, maybe you have some questions for yourself too. Who wants to share? Don't be shy, coaches. What you got? Nothing? I feel like there's something. Lisa.
What would you start with if the different people in Deva's dreams represented parts of herself? What parts of herself might they represent? A bit like you did with me.
Absolutely. So that could be a great question, right? What do the different characters represent? Sometimes a client will be able to answer that cognitively. Other times doing the journaling, you know, from the different parts will help with that. And I'll also say through the Jungian lens, which we have to understand is from a long time ago before there was maybe more understanding that gender can be non-binary, et cetera. But through a Jungian lens, if a woman has a dream where there's a man in it, a boyfriend, a partner, a young boy, whatever it is, one way to understand that archetypal character in the dream is as their masculine part of their masculine side, right? So whatever we might associate with masculinity, and maybe masculinity of a young boy is different than a masculinity of man, right? But if we have all the parts, you know, we could say, okay, this dream might be about Deva and her boyfriend. And on some level, it could be similar to what we were looking at with Lisa's dream, right? But maybe on another level, there's something about these dreams that are a negotiation or a dialogue between a masculine and feminine sides of herself as well. At least Jung would start to, that would be one way of looking at the characters that Jung would go in with. Tina.
I was curious about how to pose the question to her. That's why I didn't answer before, because I didn't know how to pose the question. The part where in the dream where her boyfriend broke up with her and she felt jarred, how do you approach that as that being part of her, and like, what's the line of questioning there?
Are you asking me how would you approach that? Yeah, I mean, so there's different ways. Like one thing you could ask is so again, there could be a top level or layer to this of, are you scared that your boyfriend is going to break up with you, right? Like in real life, that's one level and layer. And you might look at it, it might be important to look at it in that way. But then again, because there's always other layers, another question on that topic would be, where in your life right now is someone or something breaking from you or rejecting you, or you're worried that that's going to happen, right? And then you might get into some other pieces in there. Or what part of you, and then if you want to get to an even deeper layer, What part of you is rejecting or breaking up with another part of you or having an issue? Like, where is their attention on an even deeper level of two parts inside of you, right? So we could almost look at it through all those lenses.
And to figure out somatically where she feels jarred and what that jarred feeling represents.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's another way she used that. And right, to go into that. So we don't even have to necessarily even work with the images of the dream, though we could. If a client uses a word to describe a feeling in the dream, we could go in somatically and work with that feeling, like a befriend your fear as well. I'm so glad you're bringing that forward. Good. I'd love to hear either other questions or inroads in if this was your client or what this conversation is sparking for you practitioner-wise. What are some things that are integrating more deeply into you around all of this as we're talking? Who else wants to share? And Deva, what is this sparking for you? Just as we're talking about you and the dreams, what's
I like that last one of looking at all the four levels, because there is kind of this, like, not that he's going to break up with me, but just with, like, are we moving forward together? And then, but the layers of, and then what is inside of me, what is kind of breaking or kind of going in different directions. And so there's, I think, some good inquiry. And I've had dreams before of, like, people breaking up, and I never really knew how to go deeper with them. So that's helpful just to see, because I think it is a surface anxiety, but I think there's a lot of different layers.
Absolutely. And then, you know, another thing that I see in it that can be applied to the different layers is, okay, in your relationship with your actual boyfriend, what is the metaphoric mowing of the fields that you feel you need to do in order to impress him or keep him accepting of you or whatever it is, right? So that's one level. If you want to look at it as in terms of, like, masculine, feminine, is the feminine feeling like it needs to overwork by consistently mowing the fields and have everything looking right, you know, all of that in order to please the inner masculine. I think there's that mow the field imagery is also, there could be a lot of important pieces inside of that as well.
Yeah.
Good. Anything that anyone else wants to say about Deva's dream? Either an offering for her or just what's sparking for you practitioner-wise. And we're a small group today, so don't be shy. And that's what these integration calls are, just, you know, like, what's coming through. Kelly.
First of all, I really appreciate you sharing that, Deva. It's super helpful to hear and also hear.
Oh, Kelly,
the Joanna's response, because I think sometimes.
Kelly, you maybe turn your camera off.
Can you not hear me?
In and out. I think if you turn, try it with your camera off talking.
Okay, let's see. I just switched from my phone because I was just returning from the airport. So I'm sorry for being off video. Is it better now?
So much better. Yeah.
Oh, weird. Okay. So first, I just really appreciated Tina asking the question, because I was finding myself wondering, like, how do we do this? And I also had a dream that's kind of a recurring theme for me, which is my child and I are somewhere and something really big is happening. And if I move away, there's, as I'm speaking, I'm like, duh, Kelly. but if I, like, move away or I go do this thing I'm called to, oh my God, it's so obvious. I have not spoken this. That,
Isn't it amazing once we just start to say the words, it's like, ding, 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 right?
Totally. So. I was like, oh, they're so distressing. And I keep feeling like, oh my gosh, I have to find my kid. I'm going to lose my kid. And oh my goodness, it's really funny to be giving words to this. And I, you know, I know that there is, like, a certain anxiety of being the solo parent. Like, there's something very literal there that is about, like, oh my God, if, you know, I just took my mom to the airport and drove back. I'm like, I have to be so careful on the road because I have to make sure I can get my kid this out. Just silly little things. And there is also the place of, if I venture into more of the unknown, am I leaving my kid behind? I'm saying this, but as I was hearing Deva speaking about it, and then you responding to Tina's question, that place of like, oh, how am I already losing my kid? Or how am I not finding her in the world right now? Or what are the places I'm searching for? So anyway, it's just sparking a lot for me because it's the place of what I've attributed to just being an anxious single mom.
Right, exactly. And like you're saying, on one level, it is that, right? But a dream always has more levels. On another level, it's like, okay, what's the inner child that I'm worried I'm going to lose or leave behind if I venture out more into the world?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So beautiful. I think that's a great thing to journal on. Dialogue. You can then dialogue with the child in the dream. Right now. And when you do, like we looked at our retreat, don't dialogue with the child in the dream as your actual kiddo, right?
Yeah.
Dialogue with the child in the dream as the inner child.
Yeah, totally. And it was interesting because I had one while my mom was here. And of course, there's all these like multi-generational dynamics. And I just was, as always, doing so much observing. And in some ways, I feel like I need to actually journal to my mom in the dream. Like that's this piece too, right? And then I also, so thank you for that. And I also wanted to share that with a client, I think on Tuesday, so very soon after the retreat, just she was really, really in her head and so much was coming up. And I was like, you know, let's do the card thing. So we pulled out the card and it was extraordinary what happened where we just like zoomed in on the pieces. And it was a, you know, she's a peacemaker and an activist who's really deep in the work around the Middle East right now, and just feeling all these places she's doing the peacemaking, trying to hold so many measures and not wanting to be peaceful. And she drew the sword and was like, oh, that represents violence. Like, how could I get that card? And she was going in. I was like, let's just go in and like ask the questions and talk with the card. And she, by the end, was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Like, I can see how I can actually slice through and I can be clear. And there's actually space for me to express like my anger and, you know, and to express like, and to like cut through to things in ways that aren't just about peacemaking, because it's truth. And anyway, it was really extraordinary just to see her go. And she's like so highly intellectual. So it was really fun to have her work just with symbol, which we've done before, but this one was, it was like next level. So yeah.
Another great example of just the power of this work, right? And helping a client get to meanings that they could not have just cognitively, and new solutions.
Ways
of moving forward and understandings of self. And, you know, we'll get even more into this as we get to our shadow work retreat, but reclamation of a part of herself, right? The part that wields the sword that maybe she previously thought was bad or wrong or unsavory. Beautiful.
And can I say one more thing about that?
Yeah.
That in addition to the part that she previously thought was like wrong or unsavory, it was, you know, she was speaking a lot about it in the work, but then it came up with her, you know, in ways that she really wants to be wielding a sword with her husband and with her father and with in these different spaces. So she was just seeing this like expansive nature of just how many layers of her life are touched by this. So
So beautifully done, Kelly. Thank you for sharing that. I'm so excited that your client was able to have that experience and that you were able to have that experience holding the space for her. Good. Anything else that wants to be shared or asked? Not, I've got some other ways for us to go into some integration. Yeah, Veronica.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I was having trouble with my sound. As I'm absorbing all of this and thinking back to when we met, I realize I find it a little bit difficult with the dream work to come up with all of the different angles of questions for where to go with particular symbols. And it feels even more difficult when it's a person, like who's the object or the character. I'm wondering, I'm still like coming back to the dream that I was working with there. And like, can I give a small overview of this dream so you can help me try to think of like what the types of absolutely. Questions are? Yeah. So in that dream, I'm walking down a road, like a, you know, two and two kind of split lanes road. I have a backpack on and no shoes, but I have socks. And at some point I turned left and I walk all the way across the road and I get to the other side and I start going back the way I came, but on the shoulder of the road on the other side of a fence. And there's only a small place I can walk because there's like a drop off next to it, a ditch. And so I'm trying to keep to the fence and walk back that direction. There's now a man following me, but it doesn't feel weird or like I'm in danger or anything. It seems like another person with a backpack and maybe no shoes that's just walking behind me. And then behind him is my mom, and she's just talking to us just casually. And I get to the end of the fence. They're still following me, but then I turn left again, and now I'm alone, and I cross the road all the way to the other side, and then I walk into a building with its door open on the corner, and it's a furniture store, like a
more
home
furniture.
I know, like home goods and pretty things, and my mom is here again, but now with her partner, and they're like buying whatever furniture to take to their house. And I really just have the feeling of I'm surprised because the shopkeeper waves, says hello, seems totally fine with me being there. Yet I have this big old backpack on that looks like I'm going to steal something. I'm dirty. I don't have any shoes, but he's totally welcoming of me being there. It doesn't seem like he cares that I'm in the state that I'm in. And so I'm just looking at some of the pretty things and my dream ended there. And so I had worked at the time with the concept of both the road and the shopkeeper, but I keep coming back to like the man that was following behind me and like my mom as a figure in two different places, and I'm like, I'm not sure how to get into those as archetypes or concepts.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's try cognitively, but it might not work. We might need to go somatically. It's always an experiment, as I say. When you were walking down the road, how did the presence of your mother feel? Like, what associations do you have with your mother inside of that dream?
I think mostly it just felt a little bit random. Even in my dream, I was like, why is she here all of a sudden? Not that she shouldn't have been, but I guess I wasn't sure of the purpose. It felt like she was kind of just along for the ride, that, oh, you're going this way, I'll go with you. Mm-hmm. And like, if I kind of pull that in sort of like into life or like emotionally, it just sort of goes along with, she's always been fairly supportive, or at least not unsupportive, of all the different random things that I do, and this kind of like wants to hear about them. And and when I was little, would tell me sometimes like, I think you're here to teach me, actually. Like, mm-hmm. this is, I get as much from you, I think, as you hopefully do from me. Mm-hmm. And so it feels a little bit like that, in that vein, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll keep on going, but let's pause here. So I think that's one really important place to explore, because in some ways, the way that you're describing your mother is not dissimilar to how you were describing the shopkeeper. So these two figures in the dream who are supportive of you, accepting of who you are, encouraging, you know, there, it feels like they're both, there could be a significance of like bringing up the rear, the support behind you. You know, and I think, tell me if this resonates, but there is something just from everything you've described about the dream of like, I'm scrappy and inappropriate and I'm not wearing the proper things and I shouldn't be here. And yet there is an acceptance of me too. Does that resonate?
Yeah, that's, I hadn't kind of put it in the context of almost like, I hadn't related the shopkeeper and my mom in that dream as perhaps two different types of support and one kind of behind and bringing up the rear. So that's an interesting positioning of that and way of looking at it.
Yeah, so you could, if that feels meaningful, go deeper with that. Like these might be two related figures in the psyche that are showing up because they want to support you more on your journey, you know, and you could tap them for more resource, possibly. See what they have to say, what wisdom, make them bigger and stronger archetypally inside of you.
Yeah.
How does that feel for a next step there?
Yeah, that feels like a good next step.
Okay, good. And then with the man walking behind you, what was his energy and what was your feeling towards him?
He mostly felt neutral. Like there was a, because once I realized there was someone behind me, I kind of turned. I couldn't turn all the way around, it felt like, because I didn't have a lot of space to work with, and saw that it was a man. And he was very close behind me, but I immediately kind of felt into it and went, oh, this doesn't feel dangerous or bad. I don't think he's here to do anything bad to me. It doesn't seem like he's here to derail me. He's just following right behind me and just seems to be in the same sort of vein. So
what association do you have with that? Something in your life where maybe first you looked over your shoulder because you thought it was dangerous, but really not so much. It's just in the same vein as you, just there with you.
Yeah, that one I'll sit with, but thank you for that. Because as you say that, I'm like, oh, right. which energy is that and where else does it apply? But for some reason, it's so hard for me to think of that as I'm going through it myself, and especially when it's the people.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So even just by talking this through, we can see some of this, and we may not nail it, nor is it meant to be nailed right now, but just to continue to support you and also to model for everyone else, would it be okay for us to go deeper with the man behind you?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So again, experiment. I don't know what's going to happen, but let's see. Is it okay to close your eyes?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I want to invite you to put yourself back in the dream to when you're walking on the road and you're aware of that man behind you. And feel yourself walking down the road without shoes and with the backpack. And how does it feel as you're walking down this road, first of all? Let me ask you that.
Before I notice him?
Yeah, even before you notice him.
Yeah. It's hard not to intellectualize it.
Be in your body, similar to the choose your own adventure technique, really be in your body. Don't think as much as you can. Be in your body in the dream. Feel yourself walking down the road, backpack, no shoes, notice the road, the left turn. How does it feel in your body to be walking this path?
It feels like, it does feel like my mind and my body are a little disconnected, even in the dream, that I'm doing things with what feels like a reason and a purpose. I've decided to go left, I've crossed the road, now I'm technically going back the way I came, but on the side of the road. But even in my dream, I'm a little surprised and wondering, oh, what is it? Why don't I have shoes on? Why am I going back the way I came? But continuing just to go with it, because that's the way I'm going.
Yeah. Okay, beautiful, good. You're doing really well. And just continue to be in that experience, right? I'm walking this path. I'm doing it because I'm doing it. Even if my mind is not totally connected in with what I'm doing, or it doesn't maybe even make sense, but I'm doing it. And then as you're walking this path in this way, be in the dream, continue to be in your body in the dream and notice the man behind you. And what does it feel like in your body as you notice the man behind you?
Initially, there's some wariness, alertness. Like, is this a thing I'm going to have to deal with in some way? Do I need to keep an eye on this?
I'm walking my path, I'm taking these actions. Oh, but wait, is there something else I'm going to have to keep my eye on?
And even though I can't see all of him, I don't really get a great look at him because I can't turn all the way around. Even just seeing the little part that I see, I guess feel just energetically, I know he's not there to hurt me or to derail me. He's just falling right behind me and I have no idea why, but it feels okay to let him do that.
Yeah, beautiful. So feel that in your body, in your dream. Let yourself have that feeling. And as you're walking, you can choose to either stop and ask him or just ask while you're walking. Ask him why he's there.
He seems confused, like, why wouldn't I be? This is where I'm supposed to be.
Oh, good. Be with that. Ask him what he wants you to know.
I feel sort of like a just keep going, but you don't know what's around the next turn until you get there.
Veronica, take a moment and take that message in. I think this is metaphoric in your life right now. Keep on going. You're not going to know until you take the next turn. And I'm here behind you to support you. And there's someone behind me supporting you as well. Can you feel that?
Mm-hmm.
How does that feel in your body?
It feels like I can relax, like there's some relief there.
Yeah. Let yourself have that on the journey, on the path. You get to relax. Keep on going and relax. Can you feel that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, good. So take one more moment with that and you can open your eyes. Yeah. For now, what's feeling important about all of this?
There's a, well, what's coming up is with a couple of people, when I work somatically, we talk sometimes about our dimensions and the dimension of depth being related to like safety and security and being able to feel the support at your back and your mentors and your ancestors and 6 billion years of evolution and whatever all is there. And it's, I'm relating back to like, this is, feels like it's coming up for a lot of people, and I haven't really sat with that to feel into that myself, or didn't see that that was a current need of mine that I've not been nurturing.
Yes, yeah, and your psyche is like, pay attention, and also this is all right here for you. And also, it's okay to keep going, even if your mind isn't totally understanding why you're going. And, you know, I always tend to relate things back to business, like where someone is at in their business. But I see a connection in that for you.
Yeah. And my mind wants so badly to like see every piece of it into the future and know how it's going to go and avoid the pitfalls. And then I know that's ridiculous and impossible, but it does feel hard to bring those two pieces together.
Yeah. It feels like the dream is giving you direction on that. And we always want to look where a dream ends, and the dream, your psyche is even saying, and guess what? Even if you end up on the path in a place where you're not totally prepared for, you're still not wearing the shoes and the backpack and the furniture store, you're going to be accepted there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Before I get to Suzanne, and just take yourselves off mute, anything that anyone wants to share, what's sparking for you practitioner-wise, what are you seeing, what do you want to pull from the work that Veronica and I just did?
Well, I like how you modeled going back into the dream, because I hadn't thought about taking the person back in just to get the more somatic experience of it.
Yeah. Yeah. We always have that option to go back in there. And right. And I didn't know, like I said, it was an experiment. I didn't know where it was gonna go. But something will always come. The meaning will be made by the person. I was egging her. Did you all notice? Like, I was egging her, right? The path that you're walking, right? I was echoing back things to create some of the meaning without overlaying an interpretation onto it. Anything else about the work that Veronica just did that you want to pull on or share or have a question about?
For both examples, when you were coaching, the genuine curiosity in which you framed the questions, and you didn't say explicitly with Veronica, but you did before, the representation. So like and this is a problem I have with the dream things being so literal. It's like the archetype or the representation of that, as opposed to trying to make meaning of it in everyday life. But, and then from there, how you can make connections that you wouldn't otherwise. I found that really beneficial.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you're pulling on it. And it's like, even though we're looking for the non-literal I mean, we can also want to look for the literal meanings in the dream, but even though we're looking for the non-literal meanings, if we ask questions, right? At first, before we went in on the man, I was asking Veronica literal questions about her mother and the feeling of her mother and in her life, right? The literal does also point to the metaphorical in these just like beautiful, mysterious, magical ways. Michelle.
I was just going to comment. I was in just witnessing, I appreciated how you continue to get Veronica back into the feeling. And then, okay, with that feeling, now what? And then with that feeling. So that was helpful to just have that as like from a practitioner point of view of that focus.
Yeah, when we're doing the somatic work, whether it's choose your own, this wasn't exactly a choose your own, but right, like whatever it is, that feeling is so important. Veronica, we didn't get into it because you were asking about the characters, but I do want to point out as you were describing, I mean, there's so many things to point out, but just this one, as you were describing the dream, you were very purposefully and clearly kept on turning left, and you made a note to share that, and like left isn't right. right, like, so look at what your associations with left are, and different people are going to have different associations. Like, I mean, you know, in a general universal term, left isn't right, but like I'm a lefty, other people aren't, I might have certain feelings about it, but it feels like a significant that it was two left turns that you were being supported on and kept on going. So that might be interesting to take a look at as well.
Yeah, that stood out to me too. Like, technically it's the more difficult way to go because I have to cross every lane of traffic to get where I'm going. But
Right. Yeah. And I think also something about the no socks too. There's probably some stuff in there. Also, and I'm curious to know how you can use the backpack as well and why it's on the journey with you.
Yeah.
Suzanne.
So my question or share wasn't so much about the dream work. I have a real resistance to that because I'm so literal. But I've enjoyed this because there's been a couple of dreams I've had that I've made notes on that I could do the process with now, looking at the, I love the reminder, the archetypal energy of the person, like the person in the dream, not the literal person. But my thing I wanted to share on is when we were doing the soul work aspect, I had this thing about where do I separate two things that I don't need to. So I did that with a card. Firstly, I drew the same card that we had done that process with, like, and my initial frustration with that, I was like, I've already had this card already, and my temptation to draw another one or whatever, and I was like, no, sit with this irritation for a few minutes. And I actually did some journaling from that, which was interesting because my incessant need for new things, whereas there's still messages to be had in what's already there. But what or I just tend to dismiss stuff because I've seen it before, like, you know, that judge archetype, I know all this, you know. But when the part that I wanted coaching on or reflections on or whatever is one of the questions you take us through is like, you know, journal from one aspect or like, you know, which part of the card stands out for you. In this iteration, you couldn't see it, but it was water. It was the sun rays, like it was the rays of sunshine. And I found that fascinating that stood out. It's the thing that you couldn't see, like it was implied without sun rays, like without a sun, there wouldn't be that. But it was kind of like the things I'm keeping separated. Anyway, it was weird because you can't tie a bow in it, which is another thing that irritates me. But I sat with the whole thing. It was kind of like if I'm like the sun and I'm keeping myself separated from other people, like, oh, I don't want to be too much. But it was like, I don't need to overly caretake others. They can put on sunscreen. They can go into the shade. Like, I can just shine. And yeah, then I didn't know where to go with that after that.
Because that's not enough. Like, other people can take care of themselves and I can just shine. You need to go.
Yeah, I know. That was just kind of like, I don't know, it felt really confronting. It was kind of like, oh, like, you know, I can just be me and then I don't need to be worried about, oh, I'm too much or I'm too loud or I swear or like whatever. It's kind of like the people who get it will get it and the people who don't can go into the shade or put sunscreen on or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. So what I would say is like, that's a place instead of trying to get more information from the card right now, because right, like 100 different pieces of wisdom and breakthrough amounts to nothing, but this is such a gem right here. I would want you to double down on it, like come back to the card later, but I would want you to double down on this now. So, okay, you got it cognitively. Everybody can put their own sunscreen on. I get to be me and shine. But do you feel that inside of you?
No.
Would it be okay to go a little deeper with that? Do you happen to have the card, by the way? Like easy access to it? If not, it's a big deal.
No, but basically it was a big stingray on the bottom of the ocean floor. And the first time I was all fascinated with that. But this time when I looked at it, the sun was shining onto it. You couldn't see the sun, but just the rays coming into the water is what really caught my attention.
Okay. And the sun wasn't actually showing. I just want to
couldn't
sure
see the sun at all.
But it was the rays on the water.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Again, an experiment. Let's just see where this goes. Is it okay to close your eyes?
Yep.
Okay. Connect in, Suzanne, and find where in your body you're holding the feeling of those rays on the water that are shining.
In my belly.
Beautiful. Okay, you're doing really well. Lean into that feeling in your belly of the rays on the water shining. And what does that feel like in your belly?
Warm, expansive, calm.
Beautiful, good. Lean into that feeling of warmth and expansive and calm as you shine. Feeling the permission not only to shine like the water, but to feel the warmth and the expansiveness and the calm as you do. Just continue to feel that. And as you do, as you connect in with that energy and that truth, ask the shining water, what else does it want you to know right now?
It's funny, when I connected into it, like it was the sun, but when you said, as you shine, I was like, ooh. So it feels separate from me.
Yeah. Ask it what it wants you to know about feeling more connected to it.
That I can approach it slowly. I don't have to like dive in with both feet.
Can you feel the truth of that inside of you? Let that take hold inside of you and see if you can lean into that feeling, Suzanne, that you don't have to jump straight into shining, that you get to take it a step at a time. How does that feel?
I get the image of like when you go to the beach or somewhere and you walk in and it's like the water's just starting with your toes and then your ankles, and that feels like fun.
Yeah, I know that feeling. So good. It's not too like harsh and cold all at once too. Yeah. Let yourself feel that. In relation to the shining. You feel that? Okay, good. Let's see if there's anything else that any of those pieces want you to know right now.
It's getting a sense of like just the sound, like as in the sound of the waves or that calming, like that soothing sound rather than it being jarring and loud.
I love that. Yeah, feel that inside of you, the soothing as you toe dip into shining. Doesn't have to feel jarring. And see that you can hold both things, the moving towards shining and it feeling soothing. You feel that? Okay, good. Take one more moment with that feeling. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes. Good. So first, really good work. What feels important about that?
Like this, the sense of sound. It's bizarre. Like, you know, but just, yeah, like quiet or soothing or gentle sounds rather than loud sounds.
Yes. Okay, so I think that's just one maybe little piece of homework, right, to give that to yourself. And then from there, like we said at the retreat, the soul work is just for the soul work, but also because we're coaches, we're moving towards something. So if we're going to kind of like make some connections, the reason why this came up and you drew the card in the first place was because there was these like two parts of yourself that you were keeping separate. And tell me if I'm getting this right, like part of what you got from the card is actually that the part that wants to shine gets to be part of all. Well, you know, let me not make that connection in case it's not. What's the connection that you see between this work around shining and parts that you're keeping separate from each other?
It can be a more gradual thing. It's not like a like, so if I'm being like really literal, like, you know, how it's like, oh, is this the thing that's going to go viral? Or this is, you know, like there's a lot of pressure on a particular piece to do well. And yeah, it's like, well, if it's more gradual, like you're toe dipping your way in, allowing your nervous system to adjust and then a little bit more, it's okay if it's slower, because eventually you're going to be immersed. Like, okay, it's not wet or dry. It's like that all or nothing. but it's kind of like a more gradual immersion.
I love that. Yes. And so looking at it in that way, are there any practical next toe dip steps that you would want to take?
Well, it's the, I think it's for me, it's that reassurance to keep doing what I'm doing. Because sometimes, a lot of the time, you know, it's like, oh, it's not working. It's not happening fast enough. Maybe I should find something else, like, you know, chop and change or like quit. But it's like, if the toe dip approach, taking that literally, it's like eventually we'll be immersed. So like keep doing the things that I'm doing. It feels like a really reassuring thing.
Yes, I love that. And is there a metaphoric soothing ocean sound that you, like, what would the metaphor of the ocean sound be in your business for you to come back to as you're taking the toe dips and the toe dips? I don't know if that question makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm not sure yet, like sounds of the ocean or something. I could find something. But I think it's like what more comes to me is like, when I'm doubting, because, you know, doubt invariably happens, instead of spinning out in that, like put on a song, like any song, and just like connect with the music, because I find music really calming, rather than spinning out in, should I do this? Should I do that? Maybe I should do this, like that.
I love it. I love it. Yes. Right. It's almost like what your psyche and your soul are bringing up from just looking at this image is have the soothing as you're getting into the ocean, right? And maybe the soothing for you is putting on music when you need it, whatever it is, right? When there's self-doubt. Beautiful. How does all that feel?
That feels, yeah, that feels like easy and doable. And it doesn't take ages, because sometimes like, oh, I don't have time to, you know, it's like a song goes for like 3 minutes. You got 3 minutes, woman.
That's right. You do. You do. So important to remember for all of us. I love it. Thank you. Anything that anyone wants to pull on from the work that Suzanne just did, what you're seeing, what's exciting you, or what you have questions on? Yeah, Tina.
The metaphor at the end to anchor her into that feeling.
Yeah.
Can I just share that I had this milk and honey card on Friday when I was practicing, and my anchor is to get into the energy of what I needed to was to make a little like coconut milk with honey when I'm doing this project. So it's kind of like that I'm getting into the energy of that. So same thing. So I love that.
Yeah. We really are talking about archetypal energies that we have access to in all of this. Yes. Kelly.
I thought that was so beautiful. And I also know Suzanne pretty well. So it was really fun. I was kind of dialoguing with her in my mind as you were going. And like a couple of things. One, the piece right at the end, and I'm peeking at my notes, when she said, or you said, Suzanne, like sometimes I can be in that place of, oh, it's not working. I need to find something else. You had shared about that in the previous comment, I think. I don't even think it was around this card. And for me, it was like, oh, that's so beautiful, because it actually tied it back into an even bigger piece, if I'm remembering correctly, but which is this, the shiny object thing and reaching for the different things, which is different from shining yourself. And so I loved those connections, and the fact that like she's the one who brought that piece back in. And then I don't know if I quite have words for this, but when she came out and said the sound, like you asked what she's taking away, she said the sound, there was something so embodied about that piece. Like I just like closing my eyes and remember her saying that, like that was Suzanne like deeply dropping in. Mm-hmm. And I almost wanted to be like, let's journey into sound. Like, let's see what's there in sound. And because that to me, it was like you went from being kind of up here. Oh, you know what it was? It was like you were up here on the surface of the water, and then you just dropped down to where the stingray was like on the, I kept thinking, why do I keep seeing the stingray when she's talking about sound? And it was like this place of like deep, calm, low, like it was lower down in your body. That's how I experienced it. So I don't know. I just had this like urge to kind of go further with the embodiment of the sound piece. But that was so, yeah, it was so beautiful. And there were like so many directions. I love that you really followed her trail in it, because, you know, when you first talked about the card, Suzanne, it was the image of the stingray. And I was like, oh, we can do this and this and this and this and this. And then Joanna, you followed what Suzanne was saying, which is so perfect. And it also just felt like there were so many different directions that could be taken to go deeper in. So yeah,
so many other things. And I saw Suzanne's face as you were sharing some of those reflections, Kelly, and she was like, yes. So even more fun and juicy places to go. I love those reflections. Deva.
I love how Suzanne started out with just kind of inferring, like, I like things that can be tied up in a neat bow and literal, and then how deep you both went together after, just witnessing all of it. Thank you.
Yeah. It's amazing, right? Like, what, just one little card or dream image or whatever it is, like what we can find inside of us and how it can help. Veronica.
Thank you for all of that. I feel like that gave me a lot to play with and think about too. And I just wanted to share one thing that was standing out to me was, Suzanne, the two things you said you focused on, but the first time you got the card and the second time were both rays. It's the stingray and the sun's rays. And that feels like it plays into to like the questions around what are these things you're seeing as separate, but they're really called the same thing. Or we call them the same name, or maybe they're actually different. And we're just kind of going, ugh, like you said, throw it away. I already seen that, but it's a ray, but it's different, completely different. I thought that was fun.
I love that too. And what I also just really appreciate about this conversation, and I hope everybody is seeing, is that I pulled on certain things that, and Kelly is sharing other things that she would have pulled on, and Veronica is sharing other things that she would have pulled on, and they all would get to Suzanne, to where she needs to go or what's going to be important in one way or another. You know, because sometimes as practitioners, we'd be like, I have to find the right thing, right? Whether it's just like the question in the cognitive conversation, and then maybe even more so when we do the dream work and the imagery work and the soul work, we're like, we have to, right? But it's like, as you've heard me say before, it's such a forgiving process. And if we hold space and share what we see without making it the right thing, the client will get to where they need to go, always, always. Awesome. Anything else that wants to be said? Anything else that's sparking around imagery, cards, dreams? Has anyone tried the spiral exercise? Yes. Michelle.
I maybe interrupted, so just and lose my train of thought. I did not try the spiral, but I did the circle with a client, and knowing that I could just be surprised what was going to happen, and so it was not a meditation. I thought that, but it was. She's in the process of moving her home office into an office, and she's also been a stay-at-home mom for a number of years. So anyway, that's the background. But it was so cool how it related what she said. She's like, I'm a caged animal, like trapped in the circle. So it was interesting. And then we got to just go deeper with what was going on with her emotionally and in her kind of in psyche. And it was just very cool. We just kept dropping deeper and deeper. So I loved how the image that I had her draw it, and then I had her close her eyes and walk the circle, and then And then right away, we just played with that.
Such good work. And I'm so glad that you're sharing this, because it's another great example of, with symbols and any archetypal image or symbol, part of what's so powerful about it is that everyone is going to bring their own meaning to it. And even the same person might bring a different meaning to it in any given moment, right? So we should never, as practitioners, decide in our mind, the circle means this, the mother in the dream means this, the blood, right? We might know some of the universal associations with those things, and sometimes offering that can be helpful. But like, I would never go in thinking someone would think of a circle as being caged, like caging them. And yet it was perfect for this client. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. All right. So I'm hoping that this conversation today is kind of fueling some even more inspiration and motivation to go deeper with all of this. And if so, I'd love for you to jot down, either for your own personal work or in client work, or maybe you want to find a partner in the group to do some more of this work, but like, what's the next step around all of this for you? Maybe there's a particular dream that you're like, okay, now I'm going to go in and I want to spend some time with that. Want to take a look at the cards this week. Maybe you're going to go back to the intention you set a week and a half ago at our intensive, but what are you motivated towards next? Who wants to share? Deva.
Yeah, I'm happy to be reminded about this spiral exercise and looking back through my notes on it, and just to do that for myself a couple of times as a personal practice before bringing it to a group.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you're going to do it, because I know you'll love it, or I don't know, but I have a sense you will. And also, it's just a good reminder for all of us. We always want to do exercises ourselves first before bringing it to especially a group, but in general, right? We want to do it first. Good, good. All right. Before we wrap, I didn't share my dream. Do you guys want to hear it? You want a little bit of a window into the psyche of Joanna? Okay. So it's funny because it a little bit relates to this call, or it was first sparked by this call at some point. At the end of last week, I was looking at what was on my schedule for Monday, and I saw that we had this call, and my initial thing was like, oh my gosh, it's only a week and a half since the intensive. Usually I like to give more time so that people have more time to practice, or like what, you know, whatever it is, but I guess because of the holidays and whatever, you know, I put it today and I had forgotten, and I had like a little bit of a, oh my gosh, what if we're not going to have anything to talk about on the call? What's going to happen? But, you know, it wasn't a big deal, but I just kind of had that thought. And so that night, I had this dream where I was leading an in-person retreat with beloved clients, like clients who I knew very well and had been with me through the years. And I forgot in the retreat, for whatever reason, on the third day of the retreat, I didn't do any kind of check-ins before moving into the material. And in the dream, because I didn't do any check-ins, it was like the material kind of fell flat. The container wasn't as tight as it could be. People were distracted and like all the stuff. And so I was like, okay, I have to do something about this. And I was like, I'm going to move everybody out of the space that we're in into another space outside so that we can have our check-ins and then, you know, do the work that we're meant to do. And I lead everybody to this other space. It turns out we're not outside, but the space, this new space that I had rented, it was had this really narrow, weird opening with twists and turns that unless you were like skinny, 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 you couldn't even like get in to get to the space. It felt like really claustrophobic to get into the new space where we would be doing this, these check-ins and this work. And then I like kind of squeezed myself through it and the space itself was tiny. It like, what it wasn't there. It was just really small. And that's where I woke up. So speaking of levels and layers of things on the surface, it was like classic anxiety dream, like, you know, what am I going to do? And, you know, all of that stuff for sure that I think was sparked by those thoughts earlier in the day. But I didn't leave it at that. I started working on the dream. I didn't do a full workup of the dream, but just a little bit. And as I was kind of going through and noticing the words that I was using with myself to describe the dream. Well, let me ask all of you, what's something that stands out? What are some things that stand out for you? If we were to just go deeper than like anxiety about work, what are some things that stand out for you as you're listening to the dream? Anyone want to share? Coach me? No. Yeah, Kelly. Or Deva and then Kelly. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I just feel like it's relatable, all of that, like, oh, and the container goes flat and all of, I can just really relate. I've had these kind of dreams too. So I'm really curious to see how you interpret it because when I'm having them, it feels so literal. Yeah. And, but I think like, how do you, I guess if I were coaching you just to ask like where you're feeling it in your body or to maybe bring in a little bit of an embodied practice, but I'm curious to see how, where else it goes to, because you're kind of still sharing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Yeah. And I will, but yes to what you're saying. I mean, it was so visceral, particularly going through that pathway to get to the new space and feeling so close. So asking like, where do I feel claustrophobic? You're feeling that. And where do I feel claustrophobic right now? Or like, there's not enough space would absolutely be a great place to go. Kelly.
That was along the lines. What was really coming up for me was the place of like, you had to be so skinny to fit in. And so I like slid in there and moved through. And then I got in and it felt like this kind of encroaching, not encroaching upon, like almost like shrinking world. And so I wanted to ask like, what does that feel like in your body? Or where do you see that kind of arising in your world where you're feeling like I have to make myself so tiny to squeeze in. And then I get there and the space is so small, or claustrophobic or what have you. Those were that was the part that really kind of felt electric to me.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And that's another, I think, level and layer of the dream. You know, thank you to you and Deva that I didn't even see. Cause I'm like, oh, you know, there are some places where I actually want things to be. I'll tell you all my interpretations in a minute, but like, I actually am seeing like, oh yeah, like there's some things I think even in my work where I've been like, well, it just has to be small, right? But actually there's a longing, like it feels claustrophobic and I want it to be bigger. So thank you both for that. Yes, Tina.
I was initially curious as to why your dream self wanted to take the container you already had, even though you felt it was broken, outside and not try to mend it where it was.
Mm-hmm. Agree. I haven't looked at that piece yet, but I think that's really interesting too. Like, what is it about that in the dream, it was so clear it needs to be outside in this green field. Right? Mm. So I think that's a place for me to go for sure. I think it's related. Well, so I'll tell you all, there are lots of layers, right? So we already kind of hit some, but my kind of the next layer that, because I think it's related to what Tina's saying, the next layer that I hit as I was looking at it is one of the words or phrases that really struck out to me as I was writing the dream out was the check-in. I had skipped over the check-in. And then I was going to leap here so they could have the space for the check-in. And for me, there was something in that about needing more space for my own internal check-in. You know, having the best of intention and sometimes doing it, you know, for sure, I do it probably more than most. And also, this is a moment in my life where I think the dream was telling me it's important to be checking in more. And then when I go for like, okay, I'm going to give myself all of this time and space for the soul work, for the check-in. In the end, what I often give myself is just the narrowest of narrow opportunity to do it. There is another hand up. Veronica, was that you?
It was me. Part of me was going the direction Tina went, where I went, oh, like real life Joanna that I know would have stopped and gone, I feel like I've made a facilitator error. I should be like, let's check in, and thought, oh, we're taking this a really different direction. Like this needs to happen a different way. And then my mind was also going to where you said giving yourself, because you skipped the check-in time and space, to how you have gone to the cabin in the woods to write pieces of your memoir book, and with these areas that you have given yourself this time and space to check in, and that there's that, like you talked about when things getting smaller, like the longing to create more of that space is what I was feeling.
Yes, exactly. Yes, I think that is such a big theme in the dream. And then thanks to all of you, now I have this other kind of business related thing to think about as well. Where am I feeling claustrophobic? So thank you. I'm going to explore that and what it would feel like to be in a big green space, as Tino was sharing in all of it as well. All right. I think that's a good place for us to end for today. I'm really excited for you all to continue with this work. Keep me and the group posted. Let us know how it goes. If any questions come up, either as you're working with yourself or as you're working with clients or groups, ask. Here to support. Sending you all a lot of love. I'll see you soon.